so thankful for your grace that renews that gratefulness, that the gospel comes again and again and again and takes me from the place that wants to be absorbed with self and just puts my eyes on Jesus. As we're doing in this season, we know that you're not a baby. We don't worship and adore you because you're a cute little one bundled. You are the God of the universe who came and allowed yourself to be held by a human tucked in her neck so that we may be tucked into the neck of our Father forever. Lord, for the one in this room, I thank you for the children. God, I pray that you would work even through this video that was played, however you want to use it. Would you work in their young hearts in this very, very dark world that vies for their attention in so many other ways? Would you help them to believe, not about a man who's going to put presents under their tree, but about a God who created them, who came and put himself in a manger, a food trough, in no man's ville, without fanfare, and walked a hard road on this life because he loves them. And Lord, for the adult that needs to become a child at heart, to remember so that the joy of their salvation would be made new, I pray for them this morning. Holy Spirit, do you work? Thank you so much for Pastor Jack. We pray that you would speak to him and bring the gospel truth from your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas. It's good to have y'all here with us on this Christmas Eve. I know that many of you are probably have celebrations today and tomorrow, probably getting together with family or family's coming over to your house. Y'all going to share some probably age-old traditions, some very specific to your family. I always think that Christmas is a little bit of a weird time. I mean, I look at it a little differently. I looked at it practically, but it's the only time of year that I know of that we sit in our living room around a dead tree and eat candy we found in our socks. So, I mean, if you just think about it just from that perspective, it's a pretty strange time. And so what we want to do here is really fix our minds on some things before all the chaos begins, right? Because there's, I know that many of you, especially you women right now, are thinking, "What? I've got to cook this, I've got to grab that, I've got to put this together, I've got to set this," whatever it may be. There's a thousand things. What I want you to do is as much as you can for just the next few moments, because we have their children in here with us, which is awesome to have families here gathered together, but this is going to be age and time appropriate for the fact that we have all these children in here with us today. So just for these moments that we have, I want you to just quiet your mind and heart, settle down all those things that are vying for your attention right now and distracting you and pulling you away, thinking about everything that's going to happen or needs to happen, and be in this moment. I want to read you a passage. We've been talking for the past 4 weeks during our Advent about peace. We've looked at it from these characters that we find in this original Christmas story. So today, being done with Advent, I want to kind of end our time together focusing on that idea of peace. And I thought, what better passage to pull it from than Isaiah chapter 9, which is a foreshadowing of Jesus' birth, a foreshadowing of the Messiah coming. And this is Isaiah speaking more than 400 years before Jesus was ever born, during a period of chaos in Israel's history. And he says this in chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall name him, or his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now again, Isaiah wrote this during a time period where the Assyrians were the power nation of that day and time. The Assyrians were the kind of people that were notorious for being incredibly violent. Whenever they took over a group of people, they were not nice. Everyone feared them at this day and time. Now, Israel is still there. Judah is still there. Isaiah has been calling out to them to repent, to not compromise with their enemies, but to no avail. At this point, Isaiah begins to look further. He realizes that they're going to capitulate. They're going to give in to the enemies. And Assyria eventually does come and destroy Israel. Judah lasts a little bit longer because they have a few godly kings in their line, but it isn't long before the Babylonians destroy the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians come in and take over Judah, and all the people find themselves in exile, scattered. Well, it's in this time period, right before all of that happens, that Isaiah is writing. So he's not writing from a time of peace and prosperity. He's writing from a time of chaos. And he says, I want to remind y'all that one day we are going to have a good ruler. One day he is going to come. And one day he's going to be exactly what we need to do. So this prophecy that Isaiah speaks of, this promised child that would be born, he also adds to that these very interesting titles in this passage. Notice them again. Wonderful Counselor, which means he's going to be very wise. Mighty God, he's going to be very strong. Everlasting Father, he's going to be very caring. And the last one is the Prince of Peace. And that's the one I want to focus in on today. We've taught through all of these in years past during this Advent season, but I want to focus in for this Christmas Eve, the idea of Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And what does it mean to be the Prince of Peace? I think sometimes we think peace means no fighting or no problems that are going on, but true peace has to be more special than that. It has to be more than just the absence of something. It has to be the presence of something. Peace actually comes through difficulty. If you don't have difficulty, there is no concept of peace, because peace, we do think of it as, you know what, there was conflict, but now there's not conflict, and so there's this time of peace, which that obviously is counted as peace. But there has to be something bigger than that for peace to reign in our hearts during difficult times. And notice that the person who can give this kind of peace is only someone who has the authority to guarantee it. And for us, the way we understand this, the fulfillment of this passage, is that Jesus is the one who is our Prince of Peace. He is the one that's the fulfillment of all of these titles. He's the fulfillment of this Old Testament passage that points towards the Messiah. And the importance here is understanding that he is not just bringing peace, but he is the Prince of Peace. And we'll get to that in a moment, why that authority aspect is so important. Now, I want to talk about it for a moment. How many of y'all like to put together puzzles? Any of y'all? Any kids like to put together puzzles? Some of y'all like to put together like the 1,000-piece puzzle, the 5,000-piece puzzle, those little tiny pieces. How many of you have ever put together a puzzle and it ended up looking something like this? You put that whole thing together, and then there's like this one piece or two pieces that are missing. You can't find them anywhere. And you dig through that box, and then you start looking through other boxes and other game boards that you have, and because you've spent so much time putting this thing together, and now at the end of it, you have these missing pieces. Imagine the frustration. Imagine sitting there thinking, I've wasted my time. I've got to find this. I've got to have some completion in my life. Well, think about this for a moment. Life can often be like a puzzle that has missing pieces. A lot of times there's going to be these challenges, these problems, these conflicts that make us feel worried, that bring this sense of being upset to us, this feeling of incompletion. Something's wrong, something can't be fixed, and we've toiled our whole life and we've tried to achieve something, and yet whatever it is that we've tried to achieve seems somewhat elusive there at the end. And sometimes we begin to think, have I wasted my whole life putting these things together, chasing after these things? And so there is this anxiety, there is this lack of peace that we experience when those things happen. Real peace is not just experienced when everything is easy. It's not just about when everything is smooth and going in the right direction. No, real peace is experienced when we face those difficulties, and we face them, the Bible tells us, with the help of someone who is able to achieve this peace, someone who is powerful. I love how Alexander McLaren states it. He says, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. That's really good. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Understand that peace is not about the absence of something, it's about the presence of something. So when we talk about Jesus at this time of year, that he's the Prince of Peace, we're talking about the Advent, that this is the time we celebrate God coming into our chaos, God, the light, coming into our darkness. What brings the goodness is not the absence of stuff, it is the presence of something. And so the presence of God, the presence of Christ with us, is what brings peace to our lives. We can have peace even in the midst of struggle. Matter of fact, peace often comes because we have struggled. I want to show you a picture, see if you know what this is. You might know what that is. You know, it's kind of hard to say. It's a cocoon, right? But is that a caterpillar or a butterfly? Well, it's hard to tell right now, right? Because we know that before this thing, we could see through there and see those little things that we know look like butterfly wings. It was a worm. It's like this little caterpillar crawling around. But it's been inside this cocoon for a while. Now, what we might be tempted to do is watch this and realize that something's trying to get out of it. And it starts pushing against the edges. And our compassion, we may want to go up and go, well, let me peel away this part of the cocoon so this thing can get out, because obviously it's trying to get out. But you know what we would end up doing? We would end up killing it. Why? Because the butterfly needs the struggle to get out of the cocoon to develop the muscles that it needs in its wings for it to be able to fly. If it doesn't have the struggle to get out, it will not have the muscles to fly and it will die. And I think that's a great illustration thinking about our own lives. Without the struggle of life, we don't understand what it means to apply faith. Without the struggles and the difficulties of life, we don't understand what it means to have peace. Peace in the midst of difficulty. Peace in the midst of chaos. Just like a caterpillar turns into this beautiful butterfly after going through a struggle, we too can find beauty in our lives after going through incredible struggles, because of going through incredible struggles. When things are tough, it may feel like there's no hope, but that's when you got to put your eyes on Jesus, who is the author of hope. He is the Prince of Peace. He can step in and he can bring order to our chaos. He's the one that gives us strength and helps us through the hard times. It's his love and his power that can begin to calm our fears. Think about every character we've talked about in this Advent season. Every one of them, their response to whatever happened was fear. When Herod found out a baby was born king, fear. When Mary saw Gabriel, when Joseph saw Gabriel, when the shepherds saw Gabriel, fear. What do they need? They needed something to come into their life to bring calmness to that fear, to put it at bay, to kind of give them a moment where they could catch their breath. God's love comes from God's authority as well. I think that's why it tells us here that Jesus isn't just the one who brings peace. He's not just the one who stabilizes peace in our life. He is the Prince of Peace. You know what we mean when we talk about someone who has authority, right? When we talk about authority figures, we're talking about people who have the power to make decisions. People who have the power to control things. When we talk about people with authority, that's what we're talking about. So Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, Prince denotes leader. Matter of fact, in this situation, in this time, and especially from this language, what it means is that Jesus is somehow connected to the king. So the Prince of Peace would be related somehow to the king. Now, you say, well, I thought Jesus is God. Well, he is, but also remember, he comes as man to model for us what we're supposed to be. He comes as man to show us what we're supposed to do and what it's like to image the Father. And so everything Jesus does is to show us what God is like. And that's what we're supposed to do. So he's modeling for us as well. So when we call him the Prince of Peace, we're saying that he, with the authority that God has given to him, is reflecting what true peace is like, and he's reflecting it as one who has authority. So when Jesus comes into the world, let's make it even more personal. When Jesus comes into our life, he's like a bully's worst nightmare. Because he can bring peace to any situation. Whatever it is that's railing against us, whatever is bringing guilt and shame on us, Jesus is the one who can push that back and give us peace instead. When we trust him, when we place our faith in him, we give him control, he can bring that calm perspective to the chaos of life. His authority keeps us safe. He gives us peace that lasts even when things start to get tough again. That's what we need, right? Is to find peace in troubled times. You think about when Isaiah wrote this, he was speaking of peace in troubled times. When Jesus came into the world, he was the Prince of Peace coming at times where Israel was in trouble. The Roman Empire was in control and implementing their will on everyone that they wanted to at that time. And that's the world that Jesus came into. When we feel worried, when we feel scared, the scripture is very simple in what it calls us to draw our attention to, and that is to Christ. And that may seem very simplistic, but it is simplistic. And that's what scripture calls us to, the simplicity of just trusting God. Why? Because he understands. He knows what it's like to struggle. He knows what it's like to go up against the temptations of this life. He went through difficult times too. I mean, you look at Jesus' life, it's not easy. Especially the last week of his life. I mean, that's torturous. But even before that, think about the disciples who didn't understand, and he's in charge of them, and he's developing them and speaking. Think about the crowds that he's teaching from the hillsides and from the boat, and he has compassion for them, and he wants them to get it. He's going against the religious leaders. He's going against Rome itself. He had great difficulty. But one of the purposes that we have in the scripture of prayer is so that we can find peace. You know, prayer is a wonderful tool that God has given to us. Prayer is the way that we go to God and take our petitions. But you know, prayer is also a way to find peace. Why? Because we are connecting to God. We're connecting to God through our relationship with him, and that is most situated when we are praying, when we are connecting with him, conversing with him, thinking of him, reminding ourselves of the promises that he's made to us. And when we have that perspective, it helps us to see life's circumstances very differently. I love how Dwight Moody explained it. He said, a great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it. That is so good. That's rich right there. What is he saying? In our world, so many people are trying to make peace happen. Guess what's happening in the Middle East right now? There are people, world leaders, that are coming in trying to make peace happen. And what Dwight L. Moody is saying there is someone's already made it happen. No one else can make it happen. No one else has that kind of authority to bring lasting peace. But there is one who has come who's already done everything to have peace. All you have to do is enter into it. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to like make things happen because of being so good that peace now can. No, you enter into it. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says it that way. He says, let us all strive to enter into the rest of God. Now, he uses the term rest instead of peace, but they're synonymous. They mean the same thing. Let us strive to enter into the peace of God. It's almost like ironic that he uses those two terms, right? Because they almost seem to go against each other. You want me to strive to enter into rest? Yeah, you know why? Because everything in this life, in this world, calls you to go make peace happen on your own. And you have to strive to turn away from that temptation and say, no, I can't do anything to make peace happen. I have to enter into the peace that's already been established. And that is through my relationship with God. And through that relationship with God, I then can see my situation quite differently. Remember, my friends, true peace is not just about everything being perfect or everything being without problems. It's about finding peace in those difficult situations of life, in that difficult relationship, in that difficult job. Whatever your scenario might be, you can find peace in the midst of it, because peace isn't determined on what's happening. It's about who you're focused in on in spite of what's happening. It's about finding peace even in difficulty and chaos. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, gives us as a gift that special kind of peace. He has the authority over everything. So when you face troubles, I want you to remember to, number one, take advantage of prayer. Take advantage of taking this to Jesus. Talk to him. Ask him to give you his peace. Trust him. Trust that he will provide it. Trust that he will give you the comfort and the strength. And as we leave today, at the conclusion of our time together after some singing, let's remember the true reason for our celebration, which is the birth of Jesus and the Prince of Peace coming into our chaos. Listen to me. I know a lot of you have got a lot of things that are going to happen the rest of the day. You got people coming over, or you're going to be the person going over to someone else's house. There's going to be exchanging of gifts, maybe even today, some tomorrow for sure. There's going to be a whole lot of things happen. Listen to me. I want to encourage you, challenge you. I want to challenge you to steal away a couple of moments to get by yourself, just like Jesus was notorious for doing whenever people were crowding in on him, whenever people were demanding so much of him, he would slip away and get by himself. Why? Because they were pressing in? Because he was getting nervous? No, because he knew where his strength came from. He knew where his wisdom came from. And again, he's modeling this for us. Whenever things get chaotic, steal away and focus in on your relationship with God. Speak with him. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him you need wisdom. You need perspective. You need peace. And the God of all peace will grant you these things when your heart is true and seeking after these things. Trust in him, and he will provide you with the comfort and the strength that you need. So he came to us, not in grandeur, but in humility, showing us that peace isn't found in power or possessions, but in love and understanding. So, to each of you today, I want to speak this blessing over you and your family. May the peace of Jesus fill your hearts this Christmas. May his promises soothe your worries. May his love provide warmth in a cold world. And may his light guide your dark path. Remember, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there with you. He's the friend who listens and can be trusted. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the Prince of Peace in the midst of your chaotic storms. So as we sing and then head home today, let's purpose to carry his peace in our hearts. Not only being the ones who receive it, but also being the ones who speak it to our neighbors, to our friends, and to our family. So from all of us here at Mars Hill, we want to say to you a very warm Merry Christmas, and may the peace of the Prince of Peace be with you all today and every day. Amen.
We're going to finish out today singing some songs that are very familiar to all of us, but I really hope that as you look at the words and as you sing them, that they take on greater significance.